Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Deeper Truth is back, and better than ever. From John Carpenter and Journey with Mary, Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Dr. Gregory Thompson and Eucharistic Miracles, Monday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Yours truly with the Saint of the Day. And Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender. We're back with an even deeper truth. Join us.
Good morning,
everybody out there in deeper truth world, deeper truth land out there. And I have with me Mike.
I'm here. Good morning.
What an introduction. What do you think?
It's been a time in coming.
Yes, and we're here in a split second. And I love your blast off. So that was good. Well, today is the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Are you ready for that? I mean, that's a powerful.
It's like a double whammy, isn't it?
It really is. So I'm gonna go ahead and oh, man. Okay, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today. Today's saints of the day, Saints Peter and Paul. We have a double whammy this morning. Peter and Paul are both patron saints of Rome, considered cornerstones of the church. St. Peter was one of the 12 apostles, as well as the first pope and founder of the church at Rome. Although distant in history and experience, and despite having clashed with each other precisely because of these differences, St. Peter and Paul are like complementary brothers bound by the gospel of which they were messengers and depositories. Peter's execution was ordered by the Roman Emperor Nero, who blamed the city's Christians for a terrible fire that had ravaged Rome. Peter requested to be crucified upside down as he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as Christ. They constantly witnessed to us the two necessary elements of our Catholic faith, the service of church authority, that's Peter, and the outreach of mission, that would be Paul. That is fitting because we need both their teachings and their grace to guide us in our pilgrimage towards our good destiny. St. Peter is often represented holding the keys to heaven and hell, which represents the powers of absolution and excommunication. Peter, who died in around the year 64 A.D., St. Mark ends the first half of his gospel with a triumphant climax. He has recorded doubt, misunderstanding, and the opposition of many to Jesus. Now Peter makes his great confession of faith, "You are the Messiah," Mark 8:29b. It was one of the many glorious moments in Peter's life, beginning with the day he was called from his nets along the Sea of Galilee to become a fisher of men for Jesus. The New Testament clearly shows Peter as the leader of the apostles, chosen by Jesus to have a special relationship with him. With James and John, he was privileged to witness the transfiguration, the raising of a dead child to life, and the agony in Gethsemane. His mother-in-law was cured by Jesus. He was sent with John to prepare the last Passover before Jesus' death. His name is first on every apostolic list. And to Peter only did Jesus say, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of another world shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16:17b-19. But the Gospels prove their own trustworthiness by the unflattering details they include about Peter. He clearly had no public relations person. It is great comfort to ordinary mortals to know that Peter also had his human weaknesses, even in the presence of Jesus. Quote from Bishop Fulton J. Sheen in his Life of Christ, published in 1958, says, "But he, Peter, failed the Master, and yet knowing all, the Son of God made Peter, who knew sin and not John, the rock upon which he built his church, that sinners and the weak might never despair. He generously gave up all things, yet he can ask in childish self-regard, what are we going to get for all of this? See Matthew 19:27. He receives the full force of Christ's anger when he objects to the suffering Messiah. Get behind me, Satan, Jesus says. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. And that's Matthew 16:23b. Peter is willing to accept Jesus' doctrine of forgiveness, but suggests a limit of 7 times. He walks on the water in faith, but sinks in doubt. He refuses to let Jesus wash his feet, and then wants his whole body cleansed. He swears at the Last Supper that he will never deny Jesus, and then swears to a servant maid that he has never known the man. His loyalty resists the first attempt to arrest Jesus by cutting off Malchus's ear, but in the end he runs away with the others. In the depths of his sorrow, Peter looks on him and forgives him, and he goes out and sheds bitter tears. The risen Jesus told Peter to feed his lambs and his sheep, and that's found in John 21:15-17. Peter explained that God showed him through a vision that Gentiles are not to be regarded as unclean. Now to Paul, who also died around 64, people think. If the most well-known preacher today suddenly began preaching that the United States should adopt Marxism and not rely on the Constitution, the angry reaction would help us understand Paul's life when he started preaching that Christ alone can save us. He had been the most Pharisaic of the Pharisees, the most legalistic of Mosaic lawyers. Now he suddenly appears to other Jews as a heretical welcomer of Gentiles, a traitor, and apostate. Paul's central conviction was simple and absolute. Only God can save humanity. No human effort, even the most scriptureless observance of laws, can create a human good which we can bring to God as reparation for sin and payment for grace. To be saved from itself, from sin, from the devil and from death, humanity must open itself completely to the saving power of Jesus. Paul never lost his love for the Jewish family, although he carried on a lifelong debate with them about the usefulness of the law without Christ. He reminded the Gentiles that they were gratified on the parent stock of the Jews, who were still God's chosen people, the children of promise. And that's the story of St. Peter and Paul, our saints of the day.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much there, Mike.
Presenting from Deeper Truth, the saint of the day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the Saint of the Day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
No, but they'll sure bless.
Amen to that. And so...
Now they have quite a story.
Yes, they do. And you know, the Church of Rome, speaking of which... Tomorrow, the saints that we're going to be honoring tomorrow are the first martyrs of Rome. Wow. So That is powerful.
Are these the same ones who were martyred as a result of Nero fiddled while Rome burned?
Yes. Yes. And so, and this is what St. Paul wrote to the Romans. First, I give thanks to my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is heralded throughout the world. And who is St. Paul referring to? The Church of Rome, the Catholic faith, which is heralded throughout the world. Ain't that something, Mike?
Mm. Absolutely. And you know, there was only up until the 1500s, there was only one Christian group, and that was the Catholic Church.
Yeah, yeah. And you had some schisms, like the Greek Orthodox that broke away in 1054, but they maintained some apostolic evidence. But, you're right, the Catholic Church is the one true church all along. And so, St. Peter, well, his story, being crucified upside down at Vatican Hill. And it is also believed that St. Peter and St. Paul both were martyred on the same day. I know it wasn't put out that way here, but I've spoken with Steve Ray, Catholic apologist, who had been to Rome many times. And the tradition is that St. Peter and St. Paul were both martyred on the same day by the order of Nero. And so that's why Peter was crucified upside down, because he did not feel that he was worthy to die the same as Jesus did. And so here's what St. Paul said from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. He said, "For I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. And the Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." And so this is the word of the Lord. And so that's powerful coming from St. Paul, isn't it, dear Mike?
Yeah, it sure is. St. Paul wrote approximately two-thirds of the New Testament.
Yeah. Yeah, he ended up that was chosen to be biblical. So,
yeah, he had quite a considerable influence. And initially after his conversion, people were reluctant to accept him. Until I think it was Barnabas who vouched for him.
Yeah. Well, because they feared him, because they knew what he was.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes only sense that would be that way. But his conversion was, Jesus called him on his way to Damascus, and he was blinded. And the priest Ananias baptized him, and the scales came off his eyes. So that was the Saint Peter and Saint Paul today. And is the heart. Jesus is the heart. But he chose these two men. One to preach to, of course, back to the Jewish people with the vision that Peter did receive. And St. Paul went out and preached among the Gentiles, which includes us. Includes us there, Mike, and many out there in deeper truth land all over the world. And so that is so powerful today, and that gives the Catholic Church the authority that it is, because what Christ, he established. And so that's one of the reasons why so many Protestant ministers have become Catholic and are becoming Catholic. Because how do you tell God no when you're faced with absolute truth? How do you tell God no? How do you tell God no, Mike?
Yeah. Well, the answer to that is you don't.
Not if
you don't tell God no.
And so, and tomorrow, the saints who died, you know, the first martyrs of Rome. That's a powerful study. Quo Valdez. Have you ever seen that movie, Quo Valdez?
No.
Man, that is a... Yeah, it's a powerful movie that deals with that persecution. And I would recommend that movie, Quo Valdez, for anyone tomorrow who wants to honor in some way these first martyrs of Rome, which is what the Church Universal is honoring tomorrow.
It's going to be an interesting story, so you want to tune in again. Tune in again tomorrow for that story of the martyrs of Rome.
Yes. Yes. And so, and like always, we want to intercede for America. We want to intercede for those with all kinds of addictions, those who do need deliverance and forgiveness. And we do pray for the prodigals. You know, we are living, you know, we're preserving the faith in a time of great apostasy. So that's what one of the major reasons for the existence of deeper truth right there. And so we will end with this song right here. And thank you, Mike, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the Martyrs of Rome.
Yes.
You don't want to miss that.
No, not at all. And honoring St. Peter and Paul today. All right.
I believe I overcome. power of his blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song join the world that never is, because he lives.
Because he lives, and Prayer for Priests by St. John Vianney. God, please give to your church today many more priests after your own heart. May they be worthy representatives of Christ, the Good Shepherd. May they wholeheartedly devote themselves to prayer and penance, be examples of humility and poverty, shining models of holiness, tireless and powerful preachers of the Word of God, zealous dispensers of your grace in the sacraments. May their loving devotion to your Son Jesus in the Eucharist and to Mary his mother be the twin fountains of fruitfulness for their ministry. Amen. And that was a prayer by St. John Vianney. And so thank you, Lord, for all your saints, and thank you for all your priests, as St. John Vianney prayed. All right, Mike, thank you so much again, and we'll see you tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat station.